W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV.
ABC News, I'm Jay O'Brien. A helicopter crash just outside of Kyiv has claimed the life of the country's interior minister. He oversaw Ukraine's police and emergency services, the most senior official to die since Russia's invasion nearly 11 months ago. Prosecutors expect to reveal more evidence today supporting a murder charge against Brian Walsh. He's the Massachusetts man whose wife, Anna, disappeared on New Year's Day. Police found a bloody knife in the couple's home and a hacksaw and bloody rug at a local transfer station. The couple's three children are in state custody.
If you can prove that someone is no longer alive for whatever reason, even if you don't actually have a body, a murder charge will stand.
Former Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley. A polar bear attack in Alaska has left a woman and a boy dead. It happened in the remote village of Wales in the northwest part of that state. Rafael Nadal has lost at the Australian Open, the defending champ defeated in straight sets. This is ABC News. Due in court today in New Mexico, the Republican political candidate accused of orchestrating attacks on Democrats. Solomon Pena allegedly hired several men to shoot at the homes of officials. No one was hurt. Students at two big schools, the University of Texas and Texas A&M, may have trouble getting on TikTok today. Both schools banning the Chinese-owned app on school networks, and an accused kidnapper in Washington State who tried to grab a worker at a drive-thru window now under arrest.
Surveillance video shows a man in a pickup truck placing his order and pulling up to the window of a coffee shop in Auburn, east of Tacoma. When the barista hands him his change,
he had the zip tie, he grabbed the arm.
Colby Crossley of the Auburn Police Department says the woman fought off the attack and the man drove away. The video also provided a crucial clue on the arm of the man in the truck.
That distinctive tattoo is huge. Clear as day, very helpful in identifying who this is.
Within hours of releasing the video, the police had the tip they needed to make an arrest. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Jay O'Brien, ABC News.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Wisconsin voters will not be asked about abortion rights this spring. The Wisconsin Senate voted down the proposal from Democrats yesterday. Instead, Republican questions about unemployment and bail will appear on statewide ballots. Democrats say the public supports restoring abortion rights. They say Republicans only want the other questions on the ballot to increase GOP turnout for the state Supreme Court race. There's progress on plans to build a new youth prison in Milwaukee. The Common Council has approved the proposed lockup on the city's north side. It will replace the Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake youth prisons in northern Wisconsin. The measure now goes to the mayor. In sports, the Bucks beat Toronto last night 130-122. Wisconsin beat Penn State 63-60. Marquette hosts Providence tonight. You're listening to Civic Media Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Bonkers Saloon in Manitowoc salutes America's armed forces and all of our military veterans for the sacrifices they have made. Our troops are our angels of freedom and our wings of protection fighting to defend our country. We honor our warriors for their dedication and bravery, as well as our veterans and those who have given their lives in the line of duty. They are America's true heroes. This tribute comes to you from Bonkers Saloon in Manitowoc. That's Bonkers Saloon in Manitowoc. Wishing everybody a very happy and a very healthy new year.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. On an earlier edition, we talked to three women, med students, about whether they're going to stay in Wisconsin to practice medicine.
All this Roe v. Wade stuff, and now OBGYN's hands are so tied. I don't want to go through 12 years of training to have some person that didn't do training tell me how to do my job.
It is not a binary choice. You're for or against abortion. It is a healthcare decision. We all have those stories, and people want to hear them.
Don't miss the real stories here on Up North News.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Wants to remind me of Jean of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Wants to remind me of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Stop right on.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
All right, man. We got a lot lined up for everyone this morning. I want to begin with this. We're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, and we're doing something big to celebrate. How does $1 million advertising sound to you? Save the date, Thursday, January 26th. You'll be able to fill out an application for a piece of our giveaway and your chance to work with Civic Media sales team to create radio advertising campaign promoting your business across the network for free. The $1 million advertising giveaway starts at 9 a.m. only on Thursday, January 26th. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and be part of the conversation happening there. Some rules apply. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million. And be sure to let everyone know you heard about the $1 million advertising giveaway on the Earl Ingram Show. So here's what I want to do. I have a guest this morning that I am really excited about having on, and I look forward to having on again and again and again. He's a young man named Elliot Hughes. He covers crime, public safety, and breaking news in Milwaukee and the surrounding area for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. It's awesome to be here.
Man, I've been reading your stories now for quite a while. Never got a chance to meet you. And I've been wanting to reach out to you for a long time because you really write some compelling. You're a great writer.
Thank you.
By the way, why did you choose to become a writer?
Well, when I was in high school, I realized I was pretty good at it. So English classes were always my favorite class, and just realized that I had a lot of fun writing. I realized I could entertain people while I write. So it was something I was always interested in exploring more. And
was that in middle school early on? You knew that this was an affinity you had for it?
More like high school. Started developing in high school, and at the time I still am like really into movies and books. So early on, I thought maybe I'd be like a novelist or a screenwriter or something. But at some point when I was in high school, journalism really caught my eye. I joined the high school newspaper and just had a lot of fun writing some creative stories for that paper, and then got a little bit more civically engaged, and it turned into, you know, this career that I have now.
And it, you know, journalism, of course, there are big bucks in journalism.
Yeah. You know, I mean, print journalism is a strange business to be in right now. Doesn't print a lot of money, and we don't print a lot of newspapers anymore either, actually, but
you're doing something,
but it's worthwhile.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. And something is needed, man. And so all the articles of yours that I've read, I feel like I know you. And you've covered, as I stated earlier, I mean, public safety, crime, you know, crime, man. How did you wind up there?
So before I joined the Journal Sentinel, I was working for a smaller news service in Milwaukee called the Milwaukee Neighborhood News Service.
Yeah, I know about the Neighborhood News Service.
Yeah, small newsroom run out of Marquette University, a great resource for Milwaukeeans. They concentrate on the inner city. So when I was there, I was writing a lot about urban issues, poverty issues, that kind of thing. That always really interested me. Just like the intersectedness of all that, of all those things. And then I jumped over to the Journal Sentinel. I was covering some suburbs for a little while, and then this job opened up for the public safety beat, which obviously, you know, applies to urban issues and poverty issues, these things that really interest me. So I never really thought that I would be a crime reporter at any point, but when the job opened up, it just made a lot of sense for me. And so I applied for it, and I got it.
So where are you originally from?
I'm from Plymouth. It's a small town in rural Sheboygan County, about an hour north of Milwaukee. So when I was growing up, I was always pretty familiar with Milwaukee. I would come down here a lot just to hang out, go see a show or something, or run around with my friends. So it's always been a city that I've always had some connection to.
You know, I don't know if now... anybody who had your job before, let's say 10 years ago, would have been a kind of a boring job, because Milwaukee was not, it was a safe place, relatively safe place.
Yeah. Back in the day, Milwaukee was really different. There were more jobs available for people living on the north side of Milwaukee. And it was regarded as a really great place, you know, for people of color to live for a while. But then, you know, a lot changed, and the city is so segregated. There's just a lot of really deep-rooted issues that it's going to be difficult for Milwaukee to climb out of now.
It truly is.
Yeah.
And when you talk to people and you're truthful about it, and you say, I don't know how we get out of this, then they say, well, hey, man, you know, you're a pessimist. But factually, how do you get out of a situation where there are people who don't care whether they live or die? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a large, not large, but there's a pretty prominent element of people who live in this city who don't care whether they live or die day to day.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a lot of disadvantaged people in Milwaukee. A lot of people who don't really have much of a chance to thrive and succeed. And so it's an extraordinary lift. The issues that are facing Milwaukee, it's obviously not something that Milwaukee's going to climb out of alone. It's going to need help from the state government and the federal government.
Which doesn't seem to want to help.
Yeah, there are a lot of issues there too. I mean, Milwaukee is in, and its financial situation is very intimidating right now, with its pension crisis pretty much turning into high gear now, and will continue to be for the next few years. Its fire department is on the hook for cuts. Its libraries are on the hook for cuts. And then, you know, after those cuts are made, who knows what's going to come after that. So it's in a really difficult position right now. The city is.
You know, Elliot, man, you look at these things, you see these things, and you kind of acclimated to Milwaukee's home now.
Absolutely. I've been living in Milwaukee now since 2016. Moved here without a job. I picked Milwaukee over Chicago. Have always been thrilled with that decision. And you know, the job that I have now has made me more connected to the city. Like I said, like I've always known Milwaukee, enjoyed it, loved it. But after I was given this public safety job 3 years ago, I write about all these horribly sad things. But while I do that, I meet all these people who are extremely kind, loving, and hardworking. Like, they're trying to fix things in Milwaukee. And so that has really enriched my feelings for the city. I feel very deeply connected to the city and care deeply about it now.
You know, Elliot, there's loads of potential in Milwaukee, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
When you see what is transpiring downtown,
mm-hmm.
in Milwaukee, it's, come on, man.
And it's got everything that, like, young people want nowadays. It's an extremely walkable city. From where I live in River West, I can walk to the beach. I can walk to downtown. I can walk to a Bucks game. I can ride my bike to Miller Park. American Family Field.
Right.
That's the kind of thing that young people want. They want that easy to get around kind of feel to it. And so Milwaukee, I feel like is a really well kept secret.
So here's what most people may not know, who are in this listening audience, about Milwaukee is it's younger people who once lived in suburbs have chosen Milwaukee
mm-hmm.
to live
mm-hmm.
because of exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has that vibrancy.
Entertainment?
Yeah. And, like, if you want to see a show, you want to see a professional sports game, you know, if you want to go to a jazz club, I mean,
if you
it's all in Milwaukee.
If you want to hang out on the beach.
Yeah, the
come
beach.
On, man.
Yeah, it's practically an ocean.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, like, and the parks are beautiful. Like, Reservoir Park in River West is my favorite park in the world, probably. That it's got a great view of the city, and you can see the lake. And, like, from up there, it's just, you know, you're looking at a great city.
So all of those positive things that you see about the city, and then there's this hopelessness where gunfire just pops up nonstop. People who really don't know how to control their anger, who at the root of all of these things are people who are frustrated with their own lives, who really don't know how to make their own lives better,
mm-hmm.
and they don't see any way out. And then you add to that the easy accessibility to weapons,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. It's a very volatile mixture, and there's just so much of it happening. It seems like everybody has a gun now, and kind of like you said, like, people are making impulsive decisions, and, you know, it's been a hard 3 years for a lot of people. And the thing is, you know, again, like, there are a lot of disadvantaged people in Milwaukee. Things were hard on a lot of people before the pandemic, before 2020.
So hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. My guest is Mr. Elliot Hughes, and I want you to get used to hearing him, because I'm going to have him on again and again and again, because, you know, I think his perspective and reading his writings, just what we need to know, what we need to talk about. So the first time for Mr. Elliot Hughes, but it won't be the last time, I promise. He's an investigative writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hungered in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing civic media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. 34 today under cloudy skies, northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow showers likely at times. Tonight, 30. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow, 34. 4 to 8 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Welcome to our new listening audience in Green Bay. So I'm really excited about you guys coming on board, and we'll be talking more about you guys in Green Bay a little later on in the show. I'm joined by my guest, Mr. Elliot Hughes. He is investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and deals with crime, public safety, breaking news, and a plethora of other things. So, Elliot, we were talking before about what you see. I mean, you are dealing with some things that, you know, pretty difficult when you look at the shootings and the killings that go on. People who have an argument with somebody else, or somebody whose life is not going according to plan, and then a gun is added to the mix. I just don't believe, as a matter of fact, I know that if the easy accessibility to the guns, you know, being angry with people is kind of a natural part of what, you know, who we are.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much the day-to-day part. I mean, everyone gets frustrated.
Right.
You know?
But to be able to, at 16 years old, get a killing stick, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really the issue.
Mm-hmm. It's a major factor in it. When the pandemic arrived, there was a record-setting amount of gun buying that happened after that, nationally and in Wisconsin. And here in Wisconsin, a lot of those guns that are bought, they're turning up at a crime scene pretty soon after that, within a year, a lot of them within a year. But also, like, sometimes within 3 months, there's just an awful lot of guns that are being, it seems like they're being purchased, you know, for the commission of a crime, or it's just being purchased by someone who is maybe just feeling a little too impulsive, there's just too much going on in their life, you know?
You know, Elliot, right now, especially, all of these car break-ins, they're finding out that the only reason they're breaking into the cars is hopes that they're going to find a gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what seems to happen is people will drive their car to a tavern, They don't want to bring their gun into a tavern, or they're not allowed to bring the gun into the tavern.
Or even a sports game.
Yeah, yeah. So they leave the gun in the car, and then the car gets broken into. That's happening a lot. It seems to be a frequent thing downtown, but in all over the city, too.
And the other part of this, Elliot, and I keep trying to get people to understand it, the gun show loophole, mm-hmm. where people can just sell guns to anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't know how anybody can tell me that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see all the killings that are going on, in our community and across this nation, that a guy can buy a gun legally,
mm-hmm.
and then sell that gun without background checks,
mm-hmm.
to anybody. How does that make any sense?
Yeah, it's difficult to wrap your mind around it. You know, Milwaukee has broken its homicide record 3 years in a row now. It's around 600 people who've died in such a way. And the vast majority of those killings are committed with a gun. And the police have been very vocal about it. It's you know, the access to guns is very problematic. Straw purchasing, like as you alluded to, is a huge problem in Milwaukee too. So there's multiple ways anyone can get a gun if they really want one.
You know, when I was a young guy, people, if somebody had a gun on them, we would be like, wow, man, what are you doing with that?
Mm-hmm.
And now, if somebody doesn't have a gun, it's like, man, what's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, I don't have a gun.
Yeah, neither do I.
And I've never had one,
mm-hmm.
and I never will have one.
Mm-hmm.
I've made that decision. I'm not going to live my life in fear that somehow, you know, I'm going to get caught in the OK Corral shootout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just having a gun is an enormous responsibility. Like, you need to, I think you need training. I think you need to keep it in a safe place. But it just seems to me as if a lot of people underestimate the responsibility that comes with having a gun. You know, there's a lot of, in my job, I see a lot of instances where people are just, they leave a gun out and then a kid grabs it and then, you know, the unthinkable happens, or the gun is just in too accessible of a place. So they grab it and they do something impulsive. Right. You know, it's the statistics are really plain. Like if you have a gun in your home, your home is a more dangerous place to be. So, I mean, there's a lot of steps you have to take, to be responsible.
You know, man, I saw this on yesterday, a 4-year-old kid got access to a loaded gun. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
And he's walking around in the hallway pointing the gun at one of the people. But worse than that, he's pointing the gun at his... Did you see that?
I did. Yeah, I heard about it. And that's something that happens far too often. I mean, that should never happen. It shouldn't be hard to put a gun in a lockbox and put it in a place where a 4-year-old can't reach it.
And his dad said... Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I really didn't know he had. Man,
mm-hmm.
You don't deserve to have a gun,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're so careless that only through the grace of whoever you believe in, when that kid pointed that gun at his cheek,
mm-hmm.
and they said he clicked the trigger a few times.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kids as young as 4, maybe, It's easy to underestimate what kids are capable of. A very young kid, a very young child, such as a 4-year-old, is capable of pulling a trigger. They're strong enough to do that. It happens far too often.
Listen, yeah. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Jacob, I'll see you. We'll come to you after the break. Again, my guest is Mr. Elliot Hughes. He is an investigative reporter.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Jay O'Brien. A helicopter crash just outside of Kyiv has claimed the life of the country's interior minister. He oversaw Ukraine's police and emergency services, the most senior official to die since Russia's invasion nearly 11 months ago. Prosecutors expect to reveal more evidence today supporting a murder charge against Brian Walsh. He's the Massachusetts man whose wife, Anna, disappeared on New Year's Day. Police found a bloody knife in the couple's home and a hacksaw and bloody rug at a local transfer station. The couple's three children are in state custody.
If you can prove that someone is no longer alive for whatever reason, even if you don't actually have a body, a murder charge will stand.
Former Massachusetts Attorney General Martha Coakley. A polar bear attack in Alaska has left a woman and a boy dead. It happened in the remote village of Wales in the northwest part of that state. Rafael Nadal has lost at the Australian Open. The defending champ defeated in straight sets. This is ABC News.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. There's a new push to remove a controversial member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Republican Robert Spindell is facing criticism for praising low voter turnout among blacks and Latinos in Milwaukee in November. Yesterday, a Dane County judge dismissed a complaint against Spindell in his role as a fake elector for former President Donald Trump. Democratic leaders in the state legislature want Spindell's appointment to the commission rescinded. There are no full-time prosecutors working in the Dodge County District Attorney's Office for the time being. Former DA Kirk Klomberg's resignation took effect at the end of the day yesterday. He quit to protest the office's staffing shortage. In sports, the Bucks beat Toronto last night 130-122. Wisconsin beat Penn State 63-60. Marquette hosts Providence tonight. You're listening to Civic Media Fox Valley.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marquesan and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquesan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues. From the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Compliments of Connor. You can give us a call at 844-967-2789. My guest is Mr. Elliot Hughes. He's an investigative writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who deals with crime and public safety. Let's go directly to the phone lines. Jacob from Eureka, California. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, I'd just like to ask Elliot, since Elliot's an investigative journalist and a crime reporter, I think he'd probably be the perfect person to answer some questions I have about George Santos and what in the hell happened with the local media in New York State. I mean, I know this whole George Santos story is probably going to make a hilarious comedy in the future in Hollywood. I'm sure the film script's already being written on this one. And having Santos around as an albatross around the Republican Party's neck is, you know, political gold for Democrats these days. But how did he actually get through the process of being nominated and elected without the local investigative, you know, journalists there in New York State? And I know for decades they've been cutting back on investigative journalism all over the country. But, you know, we're talking about the New York Times, what they don't have the resources to investigate this guy prior to the election. How in the hell did he get through without the local media and the New York Times exposing George Santos for the fraud that he is?
All right, Jacob, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you for the question. I appreciate it. That whole situation, you know, it's not something I've been following too closely, but I have the same questions you do. Like, how did the national, local, and regional media, how did they not dig this up and uncover it before he was elected? I think that represents, you know, it's a huge failure. He's someone who he's trying to get a position of power. He's running for office. He's going to be someone. He's a person of influence. He's someone who needs to be vetted, backgrounded, and checked by the media. You know, one aspect of it, I don't know what exactly the local media situation is on Long Island, which is where I believe is the area that he represents. But you know, this is what happens.
So Jacob, I will say this: it's a different time. The news outlets don't have. I'll bet you, man, you guys, the amount of investigative reporters you have, probably not more than 15?
Not more than 15, no.
Okay, and there was a time when there might have been 50. So there's less and less people to do the jobs and to dig into things. I'm sure you wear a bunch of different hats.
Yeah, I mean, nowadays it's just newsrooms are smaller. They have fewer resources, and this is what happens. You know, when you know, it's not on the fault of the public completely. I mean, like, obviously our industry put our work out there for free for a while, and that wasn't a great business strategy. But this is what happens when newspapers and just journalists in general aren't supported. They shrink, and the footprint gets smaller, and you know, we just can't get to everything.
All right, Dave from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
I just wanted to point out in relation, you guys were talking about with guns and murders and stuff. So there's a very interesting article that was just released yesterday by Stephen Dinan of the Washington Times, and he used John Watts, president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. He just came up with some amazing horrible numbers as far as what's going on. And what he said that, and what they did in the research was that 1%, only 1% of the counties, and they're all urban areas. So let's say you take Cook County, it's just a small neighborhood within the South Side, or even if it was like Baltimore, Detroit, 1% of counties responsible for 42% of the murders in the United States. And so if you look at the gun ownership and what he pointed out, what Mr. Lott pointed out was if you look in the counties, the remaining counties, 52% of the counties didn't have a single murder in the United States. And then additionally, at like 26% only had one murder. So it's highly concentrated to urban areas, and the other point that I was going to make, and you can read this, like I said, in the Washington Times, and do a little research, is that essentially it has gone up dramatically because of what is happening as far as regarding dealing with criminals, and so I would just point out that. They were saying that the gun
ownership in the suburbs is almost 40% higher than it is in the city, and 79% higher in rural areas versus the urban areas.
So Dave, you know what I would attribute it to? I would attribute it to the fact that the people in those urban areas have a tougher time economically and financially, and the lack of stability in job opportunities are at the root of all of it.
If that was true, you look like a city like Chicago. They have transportation. They have bus service that's much more elaborate than here. Yet, and they have a ton of businesses all over the place. So, and the same thing with New York City or Los Angeles. Maybe Milwaukee, you could use that as a point. But when you go to major cities, Houston and other places, that is not the case. They have tons of jobs.
Dave, they have opportunities. So, Dave, let me say why I know what I'm saying is factual, because I lived in this city when job opportunities and good paying job opportunities were plentiful. And we had one of the lowest crime rates in my lifetime in the United States 40 years ago.
They were also a lot more firm on crime.
Let me finish my point.
Okay.
So 40 years ago, that was not the case. Okay. And so what happened 40 years ago? There were opportunities. Chicago, Detroit, the Midwest. The Midwest was the machine shop of the world. And so when people had opportunities, it was a safe environment. So I don't believe that it's now because there's all of a sudden a different person. It is the conditions that create the environment that create, you know, the crime. Let's let Elliot respond. Go ahead, Elliot.
I would also just say that, yes, there are a lot of opportunities in cities, but sometimes those opportunities are there for only certain groups of people. In Milwaukee, which is hyper racially segregated, the difference between living in one part of the city and another part of the city is vast. There are parts of Milwaukee that have been, for generations, have been neglected. There's been a lot of poverty. The public school system has been struggling, and historically, you know, these residents have been living in over-policed areas. The police department has historically been, you know, just another factor in a hard life. All these things. It's a confluence of things that come together, and so I mean, there can be an opportunity for someone just down the street, but you know, in a racially segregated and poor city where there's just not a lot of resources, sometimes those opportunities aren't available to everybody.
So you can still see
large amounts of community violence and other things of that nature.
So this is what I'd say, and Earl knows this as well as anybody. When Harold Breyer was police chief in Milwaukee, crime was not tolerated. And what I'm saying is, yes, I agree with Earl that there's definitely not as much opportunity in the city of Milwaukee as there used to be. But that does not explain why New York City or San Francisco or Los Angeles have exploded in homicide. Because at the end of the day, they have totally reversed as to being tough on criminals.
So, Dave, let me ask you, go ahead. You made the statement, crime is not tolerated. That's a statement, but how do you enforce that? You know, how do you and others say crime is tolerated? What's the answer to it, right? Okay, so what do you do to stop crime?
And I had this conversation with you in regards with Sandy. We are lenient on drunk drivers in the state of Wisconsin, are we not? We are very lenient.
you have repeated drunk drivers in the state of Wisconsin. Let me finish my point. That have been out there, they have committed 9, 10, 13 DUIs, okay? Why are they not in prison? And the reason being because we coddle them. And the same thing applies with other serious crimes in the city of Milwaukee.
It's not that we coddle them. It's that lobbyists for the restaurant and bar business make sure that their customer base is not locked up.
So then why do you explain to me then this, Earl, and your guests? Why does John Chisholm, why did he have an article out there where he literally, he mentions in the article that he is going to not be as tough on serious crime? Why did he say that? It was in the New York magazine.
So Dave, let me say this to you.
I sent that article to you a while ago.
I know, but let me say this to you. I know John Chisholm personally. John Chisholm is not the kind of guy who says it and is intentionally not being tough on crime.
The person that did the Waukesha parade that killed all those people had ran over his girlfriend with a baby.
We know the story.
And he was released in the other day. I mean, it was ridiculous. And so the point is, and I'm going back to, and I agree with you with the Tavern League. There's no question that the Tavern League has had.
Dave, hang on. We want Elliot to respond. Go ahead,
I would also just say that, you know, being tough on crime, it's also a double-edged sword. I mean, throwing vast amounts of people in prison, what people need.
It's not vast amount of people. It's just people are repeated.
Hey, Dave, let him.
What the community needs is resources. They need to be put in a position to succeed. They need to be put in a position to do well. Like they need jobs. They need access to health care, mental health care. They need housing. And just throwing people. So, I mean, I understand. You want to enforce the law. I agree with you absolutely about drunk driving. It's very lenient in Wisconsin. It's outrageous. But throwing people in prison where there's not a lot of resources for rehabilitation in the first place, that doesn't help an awful lot. What that can create, you know, over the course of years and everything, is it just creates broken families. It doesn't help people get over their trauma. I mean, so being tough on crime, I understand it. I understand you want the law enforced. You want people to be held accountable. But people need support too. They don't just need punishment.
So the vast majority of people are not committing crimes. The vast majority of people want to live in peaceful neighborhoods. The problem is we have repeated criminals that are given opportunity after opportunity, and they are when the charges are brought, they make a plea deal, and then all these serious crimes get wiped away. Hey, they could have a whole
Dave, I wish you had more time, man. We've got to go to a break.
Sure.
Ryan from Madison, hang on. My guest is Mr. Elliot Hughes. He's an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll be right back.
Rank Seed has been breeding better seeds for generations. Each year, Rank invests tens of millions of dollars to support DNA-level breeding and new trait development. This dedication to research has resulted in numerous insect-resistant, herbicide, and drought-tolerant traits in our lineup. Rank Seed utilizes the latest technologies, including robotics and color sorters, to ensure the highest germination and the best quality of seed, tirelessly striving to better serve our farmers. From research to results, Rank Seed is rooted in technology.
Miss our conversations on air? Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
The Rick Smith Show.
where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter storm watch begins at midnight tonight and continues until 6 p.m. tomorrow evening. Cloudy skies this afternoon with a high of 34. Winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Snow showers likely, lows around 30. 4 to 8 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
1938. 1 to 3 inches of snow tonight through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 30 degrees.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Mr. Elliot Hughes is my guest. He is an investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, how you doing? You say what? Tom, are you there?
Earl?
Yeah, go ahead.
Earl, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Earl?
Tom, I can hear you.
Okay. I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. So, okay.
I'll call back.
Yeah, call back. Go ahead, Elliot. Dave's point. You say what?
I understand what Dave was saying. If we are going to overcome, some of the vast issues that are happening in Milwaukee, the answer is to not just lock people up. The answer is to extend resources to them and put them in a position to be in a place where they don't have to act impulsively, or they don't have to, break a law in order to find some food or something like that. What Milwaukee needs is more resources for its very neglected parts of the city. Because they've been suffering for a long time. There's been generations of trauma now. People just need access to resources.
You know, Elliot, the fact of the matter is you get to sit down with people. Mm-hmm. You get to see what's happening. Not something that you read, but something you actually see with your own eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important to the conversation, because you actually get to sit down and talk with the people. Tom from L.A., Tom, quickly.
We the people are the government, ultimately, and we must never forget that. Second, the conservative way is just put a Band-Aid and just, wipe over everything like it doesn't exist. I just don't understand where it is. I mean, Dave's a smart guy. Dave should understand that, these things are not just throw them in jail. I mean, sometimes I think the conservative way is just shoot them and kill them, and that'll take care of everything. It's like where is the civil society in terms of, even anyone knows that when you're building a house, you need a strong foundation. If we don't have a strong foundation for people from the beginning, we're in for a mess of trouble. I mean, we spend more money on the jail system than we do on education, for God's sakes. And these are the problems that, you know, that occur. Now, one thing I would ask, and it's a question I've had for a while, Earl, maybe the guest knows this, when people, because we don't have room in our jails, we don't have room to be locking everyone up every 2 seconds. These things that have like these ankle bracelets and things like that that they can put on people, even for, let's just say, misdemeanors or whatever it might be, would that be a solution or a deterrent for people in terms of, you know, committing crimes more than once? Because I keep hearing this thing.
It has not been. And as a matter of fact, the cost of them are prohibitive.
It is something that's already in use. Very frequently, you know, if someone's charged with a crime, but they're on pretrial release, it's pretty often that they'll be outfitted with some kind of GPS monitoring system.
Which really cost a lot, and we can't afford...
There is a finite amount. I mean, at least in Milwaukee County, it's just like when a GPS monitoring device is available.
Is it a less expense though than housing people in a jail? I'm just wondering.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
So my thing is that, you know, these guys, like I said, the solution to everything is, you know, be tougher on crime.
Well,
they think they're such tough guys.
Well,
they're
not tough guys. Tom,
I'm sorry.
Tom, as I said to Elliot during the break, when Dave made the statement that there's only a few people causing all these crimes, my response that David didn't hear is there are more and more younger people who are heading down that pipeline because, as Elliot said, the lack of resources. So the answer the answer can't be lock them up even longer and lock them up. You're never going to have enough jails. There's never going to be enough police to prevent what is coming down the pike if you don't work on this on the front end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Earl. I know this sounds very very elementary, but I'll tell you what. We need to get back to telling people about the nursery rhymes, like the three little pigs and things like this, because they actually had some foresight in them.
Hey, Tom, we got to run.
And if, Earl, one thing, if Dave wants to do something, get money out of politics, Dave.
Hey, Tom,
join that group.
Tom, thank you. Go ahead, Elliot.
Thank you.
So
while you're collecting your thoughts, I would say you get to see this on a daily basis. You get to see the families. You get to see the conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Do they breed, you know, competent people?
Absolutely.
Some of the places you've gone to, and
absolutely.
Had
I mean, yeah, I'm honored to get the chance to talk to victims' families. Somewhat often, and you know, they're nice enough to welcome me into their home. I'm just like always, I'm always shocked at how unbelievably kind and understanding and patient they are with me. I'm a complete stranger who's in their home, and I'm asking them very personal questions about something traumatic that they just experienced. And all of these people are amazing. I mean, like, very often they're put in a very difficult position. And, you know, again, they're disadvantaged very oftentimes, too. And, you know, a lot of people don't want the kind of attention that I would bring them, you know, if they're talking to me. But these are people who trust me and always honored just to help relay their experience to the public.
Well, and I want to say this, yeah. Elliot, you did a great job for your first time on
Thank
the
you.
Earl Ingram Show.
Yeah.
We're going to have you back again and again and again. I think it's critically important that a guy who covers the beat that you cover, we need to have your voice out and about. So thank you for accepting the invitation.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
We'll bring you back again and again and again. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green.